This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Tuesday, March 28th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today as we discuss tours. Yes, we're still sticking on tourism, but just recently, something went viral. Something got all of the Bahamas knickers in the bunch. Hey, man, the Bahamas need to do some work. And I said, man, we don't even know who these people is. Why y'all keep on bashing us? But I say, what we shall do is analyze this TikTok video to see if it has any merit. And if it does have merit, we shall help the government, help Bahamians, come up with ideas on what we can do to help the Bahamas based on tours. But before I even go any further, we'll have that TikTok video that it went viral about the port of Nassau and see if there's any merit. So let me have that be played right now. Go ahead, producer, play that for me.
It starts off with port number one, Freeport, Bahamas. You often hear a lot of cruisers saying they would rather stay on the ship in Freeport due to the limited range of activities beyond shopping and beach excursions. Port number two, Cozumel, Mexico. While this port offers beautiful beaches, cruisers often criticize Cozumel for being too touristy with bars like Fat Tuesday and Carlos and Charlie's, and they say it is over-commercialized. Port number three, that brings us to Nassau, Bahamas. Cruisers say this port is often crowded and touristy, and they say the aggressive vendors and persistent hagglers can make them feel uncomfortable or unsafe. Some cruisers even complain about the lack of authenticity in the local culture. Remember, these are just some cruisers. Follow for more.
And I know the beginning of that cut off, that, and the heading was the top three most hated cruise ports. Starts off with a port in Grand Bahama and end with port in Nassau or some sort like that. But I have who's going to be co-hosting, of course, Aaron's with me via Zoom. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to analyze this and then come up with concepts and ideas on what tours, what can be implemented to make the New Providence in particular, but the Bahamas by extension, a better port to venture to, the top port that cruisers. We also go analyze what is it that cruisers, those who go and take cruise, want to experience and want to enjoy whilst in port. But Aaron, are you there? And Mark, are you ready?
Good morning. I'm back.
So let's start off with that question. What is it? Because I know Aaron, you went on a cruise. Mark, you've been on a cruise?
Yeah, I have.
Yes. Yeah. What is it that cruisers wants to experience when they go on a port? So let's start off with that so we can establish where we're going from there.
A wise man once told me that in the world of tourism, cruise ship passengers are KFC passengers, while the Bahamas focuses on very high-end and Nobu tourists. But it says KFC tourists. I shirked a little bit when I heard it. But when I went on my first cruise, I realized that I was a KFC passenger. That was me. That's me. That is who I am when I travel. I spend a lot of time. In fact, I didn't even pay for most of my trip. I spent a lot of time saving up. And I found everything on the cruise ship to be unnecessarily expensive, except for the free food that you get every day. And then when I got into port, everything was the same. Like all the little ports we went to was basically the same. Everything was too expensive in the official port area. And then there was very little to buy to the port area that wasn't extremely expensive. Unless, of course, you went walking, you know, sightseeing, or you made plans, like you did your research and found things to do without going through the cruise ship. So I am that KFC customer, that KFC cruise passenger, and people want inexpensive things to do. They want entertainment. They want fun. They want the atmosphere to seem like it's all there for them.
And Mark, what was your experience?
Well, actually, my cruise experience was many, many years ago. I think Bahamas Air was down, and so we had to get to the States for something, and we went on a cruise. Just took 3 days to get to Miami, and so it's a very different experience. I mean, but I'm down on the dock here just about every day because I'm a part-time tour guide. And I see the passengers come off, and it's incredible amount of people, you know, that every 5 minutes somebody's asking you, or every minute somebody's asking you, you know, for cigars, for tours and this. So it's almost like you have to fight your way through a whole bunch of people, you know, screaming at you. So it's not probably the greatest experience. And then you do have people peddling their goods up and down Bay Street. Literally, I don't know, last time you walked up Bay Street, Cecil, the tourists, I mean, I wear long pants, so they don't tend to bother me, but if you're wearing shorts and look like a tourist, then there's people asking you for literally every block, you know, cigars, this and that, panhandling, I think it's called. So I think that's an experience, you know, I speak to my guests about it, you know, and they kind of ignore it because they expect it, but it does kind of lessen their experience, I would say, coming about. But I mean, you can't.
Let's talk about that, Mark, right? Yeah. You were saying that a number of guests are being accosted. You being an experienced tour guide, doing what you do.
Pause, Nuri. This language y'all using, panhandling and accosted. I just putting out there, y'all hear the language y'all using, right?
Well, I have experienced seeing the tourists being accosted on Bay Street. Ain't no better word than accosted. What word would you use when you're coming off, Mark? When you're visual, coming off the cruise ship, and is it bombarded? A better word?
Bombarded is probably a better
bombarded
word.
Bombarded instead of accosted, Aaron? It's a...
But it's consistent.
Yeah,
Aaron,
I can deal with bombarded.
As you're walking down, you know, you literally one block, you have these shops are selling you these eye creams and things like that, and you know, and they're handing things out. So literally everywhere you're going, there's somebody standing outside a store giving you or telling you come inside, you know, whatever the offer is, and giving you a card or attempting to give you a card or a brochure, and then the ladies are, you know, ladies up and down the street. And so it is just, I mean, I'm used to it now, but I imagine if you're coming off the boat walking down Bay Street, it would get a bit tiresome after a while.
Is it too much, though? And that's what we're trying to analyze. We're trying to analyze our tourism product and wonder, is it too much coming off of the cruise ship and seeing behemoths, our tour guides, our vendors, attempting to engage the tourists? Is it too much, or is it something that we could manage? And this is what one of the comments that the TikTok video is saying, that they seem, and Erin said she liked the word bombarded instead of the word accosted, right?
Yeah.
They seem to be bombarded. They seem to be overwhelmed. And if it is a problem, how can we address it? And if it is not a problem, then we should let it continue.
Right, yeah. So I think they did this survey about Freeport, Grand Bahama. Is it a survey? Is it just somebody's opinion? You know, if you did a survey of, you know, it would have to be across the, you know, if you have four stops, you'd survey passengers across those four stops. So that would give you an idea, is Nassau worse than anywhere else? Is it better? We may be better, actually. You know, so I just don't know. But it just seems overwhelming almost as you're coming off the boat and you have, and there's like a little funnel as you're coming through that gate, and everyone's waiting for you to promote their own goods and products. So it can feel a bit overwhelming. But is it worse or more or less than anywhere else? That I don't know.
I mind you, I've been bombarded when I went to Jamaica. 1 minute for me, Aaron. I've been bombarded when I went to Jamaica, right? And I said, my God, this is a lot of people haggling me. Even though the Jamaican experience is different, their engagement just seems to be overwhelming. The only Caribbean island that did not overwhelm me was perhaps Curacao. Type of thing, where they just wait and didn't really care if I buy anything or not. They just ignored me, right? Okay. And I wasn't sure if that was good or not. I just said, man, look like they don't want my money. But the Bahamian product here, we know that there's limited tourists, limited time mm-hmm. for Bahamians to engage the tourists. So we understand why. But now the new port, right? I want to know, is there a system or is there a need for a system for these tour operators? And that's what we mm-hmm. call them for now, right? Is there a need for a system for where they all are at a different venue and they have like a person who brings the tourists to them?
Yeah, that's a very good point, because I think this has probably exacerbated the fact with the construction, you know, so there is no place, you know, where people can go and kind of have an, you know, have the booths and kind of walk through the booths, and that would be a more bombarding type of experience. But given that we don't have that anymore, that's probably what's resulted in that kind of situation that we have now. And I suspect the government will have plans when that becomes operational, that it will be more organized, shall we say, or more or less, you know, overwhelming.
Okay. Aaron, go ahead, because we have a caller there waiting. Go ahead.
Quickly, I just wanted to say that the constant bombardment by vendors, right, is because there is no formal space for them mm-hmm. in the tourism product. They're forced to make a way or take advantage of any opportunity they have, which is problematic, particularly in a place like the Bahamas, where the government will tell us constantly, tourism is the number one product. We have to focus all eyes and arms, all efforts on tourism, but you also don't carve out or create sufficient space or opportunities for Bahamians to take advantage of the thing that we're diverting a vast majority of the national resources to.
So you believe it's spacing, that the problem is not that the Bahamians are aggressive?
Not spacing. Space, like the conversation we had yesterday about inclusion and exclusion. It's about who is enabled or allowed to be a part of the formal market, and how what it takes to become a part of the market.
But we're aware that all of us are a part of the market. They're there. But we're still to address the tourist concern. Is there a warranted concern or not?
Of course, Of course, there's a warranted concern, Mr. Nuri. The presence of vendors, and you say they're cost, I say they're bombarded. A country has diverted a significant amount of resources to tourism, but has not made sufficient space for the locals in it. Perhaps the space doesn't exist because the cruise ships and the port and the big hotels don't think it should exist. They think that they should divert the resources where they want to divert it. For example, we had the question of room shortages and whether the hotel industry was prepared to divert customers and tourists to Airbnbs, or would they prefer a situation where they have those guests booked 2 and 3 years out versus diverting them to Airbnb so they could have a vacation this year. And in a similar way, these people are bombarding, they're accosting, they are gathered in particular spaces because the formal tourism channels have not made space for them yet or at all.
Okay, let me engage this caller so I can go back to Mark again and from his experience. But producer, patch this caller through, please. Go ahead, caller, can you hear me?
Mr. Murray, you all right, sir?
Yeah, I'm doing well, man. Go ahead.
All right, okay. I think one of the biggest problems is, I can agree with Ms. Green on that. They need to do some vetting on Bay Street for the people that are interacting with the tourists, the ladies.
And what do you mean by vetting?
I mean, it's the bottom of the bottom, the pool of people they got out there harassing the tourists, trying to sell them drugs, trying to sell them the CMs over there, nagging them. You know, you can look at the people, these junglers, and then they get out there, man.
And you believe that junglers should not engage in with tourists?
Yeah, but you try this for a job.
No, I'm just asking, which job should the junglers engage in? Which job should the junglers...
See, you being an apologist right now.
No, I just want to know. I'm saying, when I speak, I speak about
the right to work. Okay. They have the right to work, however... You have to present yourself in a better manner. You have to look respectable, you know.
So you're saying they're dressed
poorly? The quality of people down there and the best of the best. I should be greeting the nurse. And they need to train it.
Well, definitely, I embrace you in terms of
training. You know where Market Street is? They need to clean up that old Market Street where they sell in all the fake bags and things. It's a bad luck.
No, and I want to engage you so I can understand. Is it a bad luck because they're selling the fake bags, or is it a bad luck because
selling the fake bags, you know, we ain't gonna get into that immigration topic right now because I know y'all know on TV ain't from what y'all talking about, but the people that selling the fake bags and how they approaching the people to sell these counterfeit products is a bad luck for the country.
And I'm still engaging you. What is it that they do? So I can understand, and then we can lobby the government to address. What is it that they do?
It's the whole way that they talk to the tourists, how they approach them, how they speak into them, how they look. It's, appearance is everything. You know that. That's marketing.
Okay. Okay. I'll address that. But thank you very much, caller. Mark. Okay. The caller saying people don't look good downtown.
I mean, there's two types. I mean, you have the people that are employed by the shops, right? They look very professional, and they are very courteous, and they seem to be, for the most part, you know, very well trained and good ambassadors for the Bahamas. Now, there are, you know, freelance people who are on the street, you know, who are selling little products. So, for example, you'll be walking down, they'll tie a little thing around your wrist, and say it's a, you know, and then ask for a donation, right? So it's just a little bit annoying, right? You walk through and then they're asking for a donation for a school. And so there's like the caller says, there's a mixture. And, you know, some of them can look a little rough. And, you know, they're trying to make a living, right?
Aaron, Mark says some of them look a little rough. And freelancers is one of the problems. Do you think we should make space for freelance Bahamians to have access? Because we know you speak with accents.
How could they? Yeah, I know, but I mean, like, why would you even use the word freelance? Like, right? Like
independent, you know, not somebody that's employed. Self-employed is probably the same thing. I mean, it's an English term. Freelancer is the same as the self-employed. So,
of course, there should be a mechanism to help people who want to be a part of the formal tourism product. Right? You got a small business, you're a vendor. There should be grants for people who have a temporary vendor's permit. They have their small business plan. They have a proof of concept. They have the product that they're selling. They should be able to get a small grant to get a couple of t-shirts printed up with their little company logo on it to be on Bay Street. But we got to be very careful. Because we still haven't answered the question, who does the tourism product belong to, right? Who is the one stratifying the space, deciding, well, who can be in this space and who can't be in this space and what must they look like,
okay.
Right? I think that's important to consider as well. When I got off the cruise ship in Belize, I met a boy named Johnny Bravo and he wouldn't leave our side. He assumed that everybody that came off that ship was American, no matter what color they were. The bombardment, I asked for, we said we wanted fresh, locally caught fish. The gentleman took us to a brothel. It was amazing, right? So I get that. But I also had this grand empathy and sympathy for the vendors who were doing the bombarding and accosting because I know what tourists experience when they come to my country. And I know what it must be like with a lower quality tourism product to have to struggle on the outside of that product, even in their country. It's about ensuring that people have access and not penalizing them or excluding them from spaces because they don't fit the vision or the perspective of the presumed owner of the space.
So you asked for a solution. Maybe the solution, Aaron, is the certification program. You sent me some information that the IDB is working with the Tourism Development Corporation to come up with that type of certification system. I mean, the idea is to strengthen, you know, what you're talking about, strengthening that Bahamian product. And but it also, it's about retraining individuals, both locally, individuals locally, to provide a better service through this certification training. So that kind of on the whole of it sounds like a good idea, and that may well address some of the issues that we're raising.
But let's explore that. Let's explore that. But let me get to the callers first, and then we explore that. A certification program. Producer Patrick Qualitru. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Good morning, CA Nurin. Good morning to your guest.
Good morning.
You know, I can concur more with that last caller you had here. You know, and CA, that's where we have been going wrong. You know, we need, you know, the tourism product, in my mind, is like the Major League of Baseball or the NBA in there by fly by night. There are some things that you need to do. And we need to do a better job when we are vetting and who we want in the tourism market. That isn't for everybody. You know, when tourists come here, I had a thing when I was in the tourism sector that I abide by. And that is, I always tell tourists, you know, when you come to the Bahamas, my motto was, you know, tourists don't come here. We tourists come here. We should enhance their vacation, not interrupt it. If you go downtown there by that Junkanoo Beach, I don't see nothing so enhancing about that. Does the Minister of Tourism see what we see? That looks,
the ministry right next door. They see it.
I see pure chaos, disorganization, and something looks similar to what I could describe as a shanty town. That is so wrong. That is what tourists, and that is what the tourists see when they come here. You know, if I want to create, if I want to compete, or I want to participate in the Mardi Gras on Bourbon Street, before my product hits their, before my product hits the market, they have to vet it to see whether or not I meet the standard. But for example, if I want to open up a cafe by Fish Fry, all I need is a name behind me. They don't check the product to see whether or not the product is worthy. And that is why we are last in almost everything but in terms of what the tourists want, in terms of food. I mean, I Googled and I couldn't believe I saw Jamaica. Ahi and cod fish is the most requested dish that tourists ask for when they travel. I don't see any Kong salad or Kong fritter because they don't supposed to be in the tourist sector to be there. How did that happen?
Interesting caller. I appreciate that, man. That's something for us to consider. I have another caller there, producer Patrick caller through. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
I see you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
Let me just say this very quickly. The previous caller and the caller before that caller was spot on with a few things. Here's the question I have. I'm seeing that downtown, it appears that there aren't many bohemian businesses, if I put it like that, in downtown Nassau. For the others who are bohemian or those who are not bohemian, Have any of these persons gone through the process of, for instance, like a Bahama host? You know, because you're talking about interacting with our guests, right? And our guests, not just here to do shopping, but also to learn about the country and so on and so forth. The information that we disseminate to them, is it accurate information about our Bahamian culture, the Bahamian people, the way the Bahamas came about, so on and so forth? Right now, as it stands, in closing, you know, we've heard complaints about even right down to the taxi drivers. Some of them do not know the history of the country, but giving tours. And it's not giving proper information on what we are all about, who we are, so on and so forth. So it comes right back down to Bahama hosts. Is there a requirement for persons downtown in the center of commerce to actually have gone through the Bahama host course? And if not, where's the Bahama host or the Ministry of Tourism in terms of making this part of the platform that all of those persons downtown representing the Bahamas and i.e. the Bahamian people, where is their training in terms of what we are looking for in terms of our tourism product? Thanks for taking my call this morning.
My pleasure. Where is the training? Producer, pass the next caller through, please. Go ahead, caller. Can you go ahead?
Yeah, I think we, as a country, I've no idea or part of the entire country that's been going on.
turn down your radio and continue.
We are just dancing to the tunes of what we call sending them to on a very Christy Shocko, Ingram Nonsense, and Brave Life.
And Kola, I'm trying to understand exactly what you're trying to say in terms of the tourism product and the tours.
Yeah, we telling our people that the most serious thing is the tourism product, when the most serious thing is the people to come, and the people that are here, and the least fortunate among us that we must take care of so that we can know where we're going. And there's nothing in tourism for us. Tourism is only for the tourists. And I do have a lot more to say for this. I think that one.
And we'll consider it. Thanks very much, caller. Producer Patrick, next caller through so we can analyze all these one time. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Good morning.
Good morning. Turn on your radio. Let's go.
Sir, I don't know if you've ever been out there. Hello?
I'm here. Go ahead, sir.
Hello?
Go ahead, sir. I can hear you.
I can hear you. Okay.
Yes, hello.
Go ahead, sir.
Okay. I don't know. I often call in, especially after a Saturday, about the wharf out there. When you have 5-6 cruise ships out there, and you don't have a policeman in line to tell you, he is one of them who knows what is going on out there, like I know what's going on out there. The riffraff will slip through the cracks. You have no law. I mean, big day 444, 2 weeks ago, I was out there, another police in sight. We had 6 cruise ships in. So even if the police were inside, you can control some of this annoying behavior, because some of the people, like he said, for want of a better word, they're junglers, and they're the lowest of the lowest. They shouldn't be interacting with the tourists unless they have some kind of formal training before they go out there. And it's making us look bad, and that's our bread and butter. I don't know why the government and the commissioner of police don't pay attention to that for the amount of money that it's bringing in and the amount of money they're spending on it. You got to protect it.
I appreciate you, Coyle. Mark,
thank you.
Aaron, they're saying that there's a need for certification, that too many people are coming on Bay Street that seemingly do not understand the product, tourism product, and that they're diminishing the product. And a lot of them, I need to recommend, what should we do?
A lot of them drive blue plates. I think that we need to take an inclusionary, like an inclusive perspective versus an exclusive perspective. Okay. Should people be on Bay Street in a disheveled state trying to sell things to tourists? Probably not. Those who deem that they own the tourist product would say no. What I say is think positive, think inclusive. In the article, DPM on 9 downtown buildings eyed for demolition, we're going to take action in the Nassau Guardian last week, right? At the end of the article, Chester Cooper added that the government plans to open some incubation centers for entrepreneurs who want to craft local. People are going to Bay Street because they know that's where the tourists are, and that they know that that's where the opportunity to make money is. And they know that because their government constantly tells them that it is diverting tax dollars to that space. So you don't want the people who are disheveled and don't look right to be on Bay Street. Well, there are still ways that they could participate in the tourism industry, right? And not be the face of tourism, since you think their face ain't nice enough. For instance, Cooper said, an incubation center for entrepreneurs who want to craft locally made goods. We are not taking advantage of the souvenir space. Right now, we have scores of people importing souvenirs from Cuba to sell in our market. But these people whose faces we don't wish to see could be employed making souvenirs. But you got to pay them more than what you buy in the souvenirs for in Cuba. We got to take an inclusive perspective and not an exclusive, not the one of excluding people, but how can we include people in a space that is not only rightfully theirs, but politically and culturally, it's important that we don't restrict Bahamians from that space.
Mark, some of the calls are saying that they need to restrict a certain set of people from this space. I know Aaron is a person of inclusion, mm-hmm. but there are a number of persons saying we need to police Bohemian tourism. We need to police downtown. You are a tour guide. Do you agree that it needs to be policed?
I mean, there clearly is an element that needs to be, but I don't know. I don't think it's as big as people are saying. You know, maybe they're on one part of the wharf where it is particularly bad, along Bay Street, maybe the bottom of Market Street. There are a few little parts which could be improved, but generally speaking, you know, it's just the volume. You know, every shop is they're in the business of selling stuff, right? So they're going to have a representative out there giving you a card. It just becomes tiring when you've gone past the 30th shop and you've declined 29 cards. You know, but I don't think there's anything you can really do about that. That's just the reality, and I think people do accept that. But when you have somebody who's really rough and in your face and clearly not, you know, the right person that should be engaging with you, that's where the problem is. I don't know how big
it
is. Who
do you report someone like that? If the person is aggressive?
You know, one of the callers said there's no police, but there are police down there. Certainly by the cruise, the dock where the passengers are coming off, there are policemen there. I usually see 3-4 of them, standing there, and they are trying to keep order. And so there is that happening for sure. If it's enough, I don't know. I mean, that's really for the Commissioner of Police to decide, but you know, the police is there in presence, and the times I've been there, I've never been there where I've never seen a police officer, and I think we have to be thankful to them, because I think it creates a much safer space downtown, because I think for our cruise ship passengers, you want to, you know, when they come off, they, you know, they're going to put up with the bombardment, how we call it, but what they won't put up with is somebody teething things from them or assaulting them, and thankfully from what I can see, that sort of thing does not happen, and that is down to good policing. And I see the police turning people away as they're coming into the street, you know, particularly the vagrants, you know, people who are, you know, the homeless people, and they do send them back out of town. So that does, you know, there is definitely policing going on. Now, improving, you know, because we're all ambassadors, right? So, you know, whatever people think, you know, the Bahamian, when you travel, you're an ambassador for your country. You know, so you want to make a good impression for your country. And it's the same thing when those tourists come up, we want to be that best ambassador for them. Not all of us know how to do that, right?
Okay. Let's go to the callers here. And I'll ask you when the callers are done. Would you support that anyone who's working down Bay Street, you too, Aaron, anyone who's working on Bay needs to have a certificate to say that they went to a Bahama house or mm-hmm. tourism-fielded type environment. Mm-hmm. I want to know your commentary on that. But let's go to the callers. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
A blessing. Good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Go ahead, dear.
And to your guest, Ms. Green. You know, I think, Mr. Nuri, we need to start speaking the truth to ourselves. We have lost our pride as Bahamians. One time ago, we had a saying, I'm proud to be a Bahamian. When you go down Bay Street now, you're like you're in the middle of a hustling paradise. Bahamians feel shame to go to Bay Street. Everybody down Bay Street, any old hustler down Bay Street, hustling Bahamians and tourists. They don't only hustle tourists. They be hustling one another, hustling Bahamians. You don't even feel comfortable down there. You go to fish fry, everybody hustling you for a cigarette, for a dollar, for beer, for this and that and the next. They hustling everybody. We don't know them. The taxi drivers look like they just hustling everybody. I just saw them pass through Bay Street. You don't want to stop nowhere no more. You're not proud to be out anymore. We have lost our pride in our country. And I've heard tourists out there sitting down talking about the Bahamas, how expensive we are. We just charge people anything. We don't give quality. We just charge anything. You know, a little conch for $3. You selling a conch salad now for $25. Any figure come to your head, you're just selling it. There's no standard. There's nothing. Everybody on the hustle.
Okay, let me talk about that. One more caller then, Aaron. We'll talk about it. Is it too expensive? Is our product too expensive? Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Good morning.
Good morning.
To you and your guests. Yes, I think we can always improve our tourism product because there's something that keeps bringing tourists to the Bahamas. And I feel when we have our investors that come to hold the huge hotel properties, one thing a day I must give them credit for, they have an in-house training program and academies that goes on year-round. And I think government's tourism, the product that we have, it involves all of us, okay? So we have to continuously train, groom with the straw market, with the vendors, the store owners, encourage them to have like a training program. We need to have more officers, and not just police officers. At the airport, they have those, what do you call those gentlemen and ladies who wear the green and white, I think, uniforms, with the blue and white. That
ambassadors, tourism ambassadors?
Yes, we need more of those, that type of officers on Bay Street in reference to as far as, because you can't keep, I don't think you should keep the Hamas off of Bay Street, but there has to be some sort of a supervision, some sort of guidance, and to encourage those persons. You know, we as a people should want to keep our number one industry because we're in competition with the world now. So we should support each other and trying to find a way to enhance that. And when we go on Bay Street, you don't hear the complaints about the hustlers or that type mentality because it happened to me in Jamaica. I was terrified when I went to a set in Jamaica because of, you know, the minute you enter a store, persons just crowd you and you know, more or less push you to buy things, put things in your basket, you know, even asking for it. So we need to find proper supervision or guidance in order to continue to have our product to be the best there is in the world. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Aaron, the guests talk about supervision and guidance. They talk about certification. They talk about someone there to police downtown and restrict certain people from engaging with guests, right? There was also a TikTok video where a gentleman did a video on where tourists can, the top four places in New Providence tourists can engage in, I'm trying to get a right word, of suggestive entertainment, right? And he's given the listing of places, and he called names, you know. He said, you go to this place, you can get this type of service here, and you go to this place down the gully, you get this type of service here, and if you want a certain type of thing, you go here, right? Mm-hmm. How do we police that, or is that a part of our tourism market also?
Well, I will encourage everyone in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas and in the Bahamian diaspora listening to the show to find a copy of Dr. Ian Strawn's book, Plantation to Paradise, Culture and Tourism in the Anglophone Caribbean. If you want to understand how your tourism product has evolved to where it is today, you must read that book. In fact, I'm going to tell you to be Dr. Strawn and get these books in the public libraries, figure out how to pay Dr. Strawn for a free downloadable PDF version. Traditionally, we have sold sex, not just in the Bahamas, but in the entire region. That's what a large part of tourism is. So this is nothing extraordinary. The only question is who is allowed to do it and who isn't, because we wouldn't want riffraffs in our tourism product, would we? But in terms of who supervises, right, like, is supposed to be in charge? Let me tell you what I found. I found a number of articles. Tourism Development Corporation announces rebrand. That's 20th of June, 2022. TDC, that's the Tourism Development Corporation lobbying body for tourism businesses, 14th of July, 21. And they are referencing the Bahamas Association of Shore Experiences that acts as a lobbying body to ensure inclusion in government benefits, policy setting, and input into legislative amendments of shore experiences. BASE will include entrepreneurs and vendors of Airbnbs, members of organizations such as the Bahamas Diving Association, Bahamas Bridal Association, Association of Bahama Marinas, tour operators, hair braiders, boutique resorts, taxi and surrey drivers, jet ski operators, and more. There is also the Bahamas Hotel and Tourism Association. Now, in terms of certification, there's an article, 6th of September, 2021, that Mark referenced earlier. IDB assists with the development of tourism certification programs for Bahamians. Now, here's what the problem is. Here's what I didn't find, Mr. Newman. I didn't find working websites for any of these organizations. I didn't find a space that told me clearly and definitively Bahamians do, except for, I will argue this time, the Bahamas government website had a fair bit of information. For instance, the Tourism Development Corporation's organizational priorities will include product development, business development, linkage creation, sectoral engagement. The TDC also plans to focus on engaging hotel brands for resort development while rejuvenating existing attractions, creating new ones, developing new tours and excursions, and facilitating agrotourism opportunities for Bahamian entrepreneurs. But here's what the problem is. I'm a budding Bahamian entrepreneur with a fabulous product. I can't find any more information online about the certification, about how do I join. Well, I got numbers to call for the TDC on the government website, but there's no website. How are people going to find out what their options are? And do people have enough time to move at the pace of government, for wait to the Ministry of Tourism to respond to them when these government agencies still having a problem initializing the voice systems on their telephone? What I'm saying is, if we use an inclusive versus an exclusive perspective, we will see that people are trying on both sides. We just need to tighten up the systems so more people could take advantage of what the government and an NGO space is offering for them to build their capacity.
Well, why don't we see what Khadija Young has? We should get her on the show. She's a TDC, which is our
project
tourism
manager.
Development. She's a project manager, and I think you know these are really good questions. One thing from my experience is that the tourism product is expensive. I've seen other videos in the past where people, they complain. There were five things they complained about, but the two things that stuck out was taxi drivers, how they were gouged by them, by mm-hmm. the pricing. They would get $20, mm-hmm. you know, would be offered for $30, or then they'd be charged, you know, a ridiculous price. And at the end, they felt they have to pay. But also the expense of doing things, you know, the expense of, it's very expensive places. We know, I think we're the seventh most expensive country in the world. And so, you know, looking at the tours, I went into Viator to have a look at what was available. And I think a lot of cruise ship passengers would do that too, Viator, TripAdvisor. And there's very few things to do under $100. You know, the food tour is one of them. I think it's like $75, which is amazing value. You get six items of food, and you get this whole history, which people love. But if you want to go and do, you know, the many tours are $200, $190. You want mm-hmm. to get a four-wheel drive for 4 hours, it's like $199. It's expensive.
So you're saying part of our tourism product is pricey? Mm-hmm.
It is
or
pricey.
Overpriced or whatever
but
it is.
It seems, you know, you see people are paying that kind of money. So the price, you know, the free market price it's probably at the right price point. Not for me personally, you know, I don't want to spend $200. If I have three people in my party, I'm spending $700 to do something for 4 hours. I'm not in that kind of
During my our last moments on this topic, early in the program, one of the callers indicated that we have an immigrant element on Bay Street. Right. And the caller was concerned that his immigrant element is diminishing our Bahamian concept of what it is that we are trying to sell. Right. He mentioned Market Street. He mentioned near the straw market. He mentioned even inside one or two of the stores that persons who you assume would understand Bahamian culture, who assume will identify as Bahamian, are no longer on Bay Street. Should we be concerned about that?
You mean the people with the American accents, Mr. Newry?
No, I too am concerned accent, about the accents more down Southish.
Oh, because I am concerned about how American ontologicalism, that's when you forget that you're not American because you're so consumed by all things American. That what perturbs me, the number of American voices I hear coming from vendors. Hey, pretty lady, hey, you want to get your hair braided? I don't think tourists expect to hear that when they come to New Providence, when they come to the Bahamas. And that sets a bad, I feel like you getting ready to scam me right away because you're trying to sound more like me. Why would you do that if I know that I'm coming to a foreign country?
And you, Mark? Do you change your accent when you're doing tours?
No, not really. No, I don't think. I mean, there probably is an element. You know that what that gentleman referred to. There is an element on Bay Street that is not, Bahamian, for want of a better word. And you know, does that diminish our tourism product? I don't know. I mean, some people say it does. It's another perspective. But are they able to be an ambassador? I mean, the question is, how many Bahamians are able to be an ambassador for their country? You know, how many of us know the history and able to talk about it, the similarities between, you know, the connection between us and the United States through the loyalists and all that stuff? And I think many of us don't really know the history. So how can
and
we
is
be
that
an
important,
ambassador?
Though, Mark? Knowing the is history it? Of the connection to the United States, the history about the colonialism, history about our old past, which a number of Bahamians say, man, we should need to forget it.
Piracy, all those things, it's just a very interesting history. And, you know, when I talk about it, people love to hear it. They have no idea what, you know, our history is very diverse and interesting. And I think the more the people know where we're from and our past, I think that all helps our product.
It all helps our product. We are continuing that conversation about tourism. This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Of course, Aaron Green was with me and Mark Palmer was here with me. Have a wonderful day.